Fear the Walking Dead talk through episode 23. Teo Twalky review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead talk through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And you are still not Ruthie.
Yes.
Yeah, so we don't have our new version of the intro yet. But Ruthie, if you're listening, I promise I will try to get Daryl to make sure that the guy doesn't say, "Here's your hosts." It should say, of course, "Here are your hosts." That's always been a sore point for her and for me too. Anyway, so this episode we are discussing season 3, episode 3, which is very difficult to say, but it's pronounced Teo Twalky, I think. But it basically means this.
It's the end of the world.
Yeah. So in other words, according to, as REM said very long time ago, the end of the world as we know it. That's what it stands for. And this episode is written by, I believe he is a co-executive producer, but I don't know any of his history. I need to go look it up. Ryan Scott, and directed by Deborah Chow, and I believe she has directed episodes in the past in season 2. Anyway, so let's move on to news, ratings, and info, or as we like to say, what the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right, well, I don't really have any info for this episode, and neither does Kyle, as we discussed before we started recording. But of course, as a ratings junkie, I do have ratings. So ratings, well, depending on how you look at it, it's either this or it's maybe this.
Fist bump.
In other words, it is roughly even, slightly lower, but not by much, from the second episode, but down from the first episode. So it got a 1.02 in the 18 to 49. It's bumping very close to that 1.0. I wonder if it'll go below next episode, with 2.504 million. So that compares against last week's 1.18 in the first episode, which in the 1849 with a 3.109 million, and then 1.04 in the 18 to 49 for episode 2, and 2.698 million. So again, for, you know, between episodes going, you know, from the first week to the second week, not terrible, but lower. And as you can see from our notes, I have published the little chart that I do, and you can see that on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And if you aren't a member, Enid says,
"Are you serious?"
Enid was feeling, you know, wanted to speak up, even though it's the wrong show. Anyway, so as you see, ratings are down, but they're pretty close to what they were at the end of season two, as you can see from that chart. All right, but down quite a bit from season two start. Talking Dead was roughly even with last week. It got a 0.36 in the 18 to 49, which is exactly the same as what it got last week. It was down slightly in the number of viewers with 963,000, and that's versus last week's 977,000. So, I mean, the ratings aren't great, but they're, you know, I believe it's still the second highest rated drama on AMC and the third highest rated regular show on basic cable. So, you know, it's doing okay. It's just, you know, not setting the world on fire.
Yeah.
All right. So I got some news, and this is actually the first thing is Walking Dead related. So Fox has decided to cancel 24 Legacy. Now, what do we care about that? Well, you may remember that the lead on 24 Legacy was played by Corey Hawkins, who disappeared in season 7, episode 6, Swear, last season. He played the episode or plays the character of Heath on The Walking Dead, and he, you know, kind of left when Tara was, you know, going to visit the Oceansiders, and we never saw him again. So maybe that means he's going to come back in season 8. Probably not right away in season 8, but if he may come back in season 9, I don't know. He may not come back at all. I don't know. But what do you think about that news?
I basically, we didn't see him die or see his body, so I could tell, you know, totally see him making an appearance. But doing what or, you know, what happened to him, I don't know. So I hope so, because, I mean, I like Teeth. I mean, so kind of would like to see him rejoin our group after all the devastation they've gone through.
Right. Yeah, certainly they could use the manpower. And it's funny that you say it in the way that you said it, because that's very appropriate to this week, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
A character that disappeared that suddenly may reappear. Anyway, so the second thing that I got was an article from Vox, and they suggested that Travis's shocking death would have been a major deal, such as when Laurie died in season 3 of The Walking Dead, how, you know, shocking that it was for a major character to die unexpectedly. But in the social, you know, networks and you know, on the articles, you know, the entertainment blogs and critics and stuff like that, there was barely a blip. So my take on that is, you know, it's kind of apples versus bananas here. It's not really a good comparison, because I hate to say it, Fear the Walking Dead is not The Walking Dead, and it is not, you know, gained that similar, you know, status or, you know, zeitgeist, I guess, in that, what do you call it? I think I said that wrong, but it doesn't have that, that same position in popular culture that The Walking Dead does. And, you know, so yeah, it was at a similar point in the story. You know, because I think Laurie died in season 3, episode 4.
Yeah.
But you know, the shows are in a much different place from, you know, like I say, the zeitgeist. The Walking Dead was very much at that point becoming a big cultural phenomenon. It was winning, you know, it was already, I think, beating everything on basic cable and starting to beat, you know, regular TV. And Fear the Walking Dead is, you know, especially coming back in season three, the ratings are just not at the same point. So it, to me, makes perfect sense that it didn't make much of a stir. What do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, it is kind of, we're at that point though, where some of the stuff isn't all that shocking. Cause it's kind of like, you know, viewers and just, TV in general, like we're desensitized to kind of these types of things since we've had like Game of Thrones and then of course The Walking Dead with Lori and like some other different characters and things that happened on that show, that it just kind of, it's not really shocking anymore. It's almost kind of just this same old on par with what we expect. Although I did find it a little bit shocking just because I wasn't expecting it, but
yeah,
I guess I wouldn't be on, I wasn't going straight to Twitter to like talk about it.
Well, I think that, it was shocking, but I mean, let's face it, it's not getting the number of eyeballs that The Walking Dead had when Lori died. And that was shocking. I mean, it was, I'd say, one of the most shocking deaths on the show. Maybe another one that I can think of was pretty shocking, but in sort of a different level of character was Denise, right? Like yeah. when she got killed, by Dwight, it was very much like came out of nowhere and it was shocking, but it wasn't like she wasn't a lead character. She was a secondary character. She wasn't even she was only a recurring, she wasn't even part of the main cast. So, you compare that to Cliff Curtis and Travis dying. I mean, definitely, as major of a character as Lori was, but, like I say, the show isn't at the same level of popular culture, and it's just like you make a great point about, we're kind of desensitized to it at this point, So, like if a character died like that on the regular show, it wouldn't be as big of a deal either. And it was, yeah. Of course, now mind you, when Glenn and Abraham died, that was a big deal, but you knew someone was going to die. So it wasn't a question of you being shocked that someone died, but maybe a little shocking that two people died.
It's, we kind of already had an idea like something was going to happen, so it's not really like
right,
didn't come off as a shock,
right?
Yeah, and then of course the Lori thing, it also does kind of make a point to also how invested in those characters that the viewers are, to like how much of a shock it is,
right?
So.
Right. And we're actually going to get into that a little bit and once we get into feedback here in a second. So with that, I think it's a good time to bring up our episode discussion. So normally we would start with ratings, but we decided after last week and getting in some feedback for last week's episode, Kyle and I decided after posting something about it on the Facebook group to make a bit of a format change, something that Ruthie and I never did before, but I think it's a good change. And that is, instead of talking about last week's feedback after we've gone through Awesome Sauce and Weak Sauce and ratings and stuff like that, we're just going to give the feedback that we got for last week first. And then we'll get into this week. Okay? So with that, it's time to listen.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Yes, it is. So we got two pieces of feedback for last week. So our first one is from Laura. So do you want to start it off?
Yep, I will go ahead. Laura says, I'm late, but it takes me a while to get to a 2-hour premiere when all the shows are on Sunday night. What's up with that? She gives this episode 6 out of 10 rat parades. Her awesome sauce is a cool hand strand, Glad to see the con man back to his slick, hustling ways. I also like some of the new characters. Quite obviously, deranged Troy and his slightly shady, more ambiguous, sinister father. Her lame sauce was the rolled my eyes moment. Troy giving the gun to Nick. Did nobody think to train one of those many other guns on Nick to make sure he wouldn't turn it on Troy? I saw that one coming a mile away. The mother of the bride waiting for, what, weeks? To have Strand open the balcony door so she could end it all when she had a perfectly good chef's knife in her hand? Didn't get that one except to have a dramatic moment. And even though the gore was Nicotero worthy, I don't see how a walker wedged inside an air vent with little ability to create forward or backward momentum could pull an entire grown man in. Do the dead suddenly have superhuman powers? Oh well, chalk that one up to Hollywood magic.
All right, I'll take over the rest. And she continues, she says, well, I was fully prepared to give this show a fighting chance, especially because I've kind of liked where they were going in the past, but I could not get into this premiere, not even with the shocker of Travis's death. I tried, I did, but I still hate Madison, probably even more now. I like Nick, but this episode, he just felt a bit precocious and impulsive. Alicia is okay, but her character felt very flat to me, except for her ninja-like skills in knife flicking, which she apparently picked up in AP calculus. I did manage to find two awesome sauces despite my curmudgeonly review, but my biggest gripe with Fear the Walking Dead is that it has no heart. In the parent show, I know, I hate these comparisons too. Rick and many other characters bring heart to a dark, apocalyptic zombie apocalypse. I don't know who does this for Fear. They all feel a bit selfish and backstabby and seem to deal with the zombie apocalypse with apathy rather than pathos. I don't mind gore, I don't mind darkness, but I need to have some sort of hope and desire to put myself through this each week. And in the first two episodes, I really didn't get it. But I'll keep on watching because I'm a film and TV masochist. I will keep watching something even if it's horrible because I must see how things end. Maybe they'll do an about face now that Travis's whole side of the family has been eliminated. So much for the blended family, eh? Yeah, Laura, you bring up a lot of good points. And, you know, I'm sorry you didn't like the episode. Obviously, you liked it a lot less than we did. But the points that you make are valid. And there are several things that, you know, we're stretching it. Like, certainly the walker pulling the – that. What was his name?
Toady.
Yeah, the Toady.
Yeah. Willie.
Yes, yes.
Grover Dill! Farkas's crummy little Toady. Mean, rotten. His lips curled over his green teeth.
I wasn't going to use that, but since you said Toady, I had to do it. Yeah, what was that character's name again? Do you remember?
Wasn't it Willie?
Willie, that's it. Yes. Yeah, so, yes, it was a stretch. In fact, I said last podcast, I said, was that the strongest, you know, zombie we've ever seen on this show? Yeah. And, yeah, it was a really cool effect, but it certainly did stretch credibility there. And, you know, what you say about the characters, I can't disagree with you. I mean, I've had my issues with Madison, as, you know, listeners know. I'll talk a little bit more about Madison as we go into it. I mean, I've had problems with her character, you know, off and on. Like, when she put on that episode, when she put on the hotel sign, you know, and, yeah, like, made a fool of herself at the, you know, grocery store that the gang was watching over, you know, that was just like, you know, kind of slap your head and just like, are you kidding me? You know?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Madison's definitely been kind of one of the characters I've, you know, at least seen comments from other places and stuff like that, that she can either really get on your nerves, or she's kind of like, she'll have so-so moments, and it's kind of like, I can see potential there and something that I, you know, would like to see more, but she then turns on her, you know, mama power activate and goes crazy and makes stupid decisions.
Yeah. But,
or just acts weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give her some time.
But that said, I mean, I will get into it more, but so far I've liked what I've seen from her character this season, you know, so I'm hopeful that, I'm not gonna have those kind of feelings about her character, anymore. So, and you know, that she'll find her rightful place as kind of like the lead character on the show. That's what I'm hopeful for. So
yeah, same here.
All right. I don't have anything else to say, but, Lara, thank you so much. And we actually have some feedback for you for this episode too. So we'll get to you in a few minutes. Why don't you take the next one?
All right. Whitney says, Travis's death was a shock. Often deaths, which are surprising, and the cause of death not via a walker, can be more traumatic and shocking. When Travis said, help me, while covering his neck, I had the same feeling as I did when Denise in The Walking Dead was shot with the arrow. Almost surreal with an, oh my, is this happening? And I totally, yeah, like I agree with that, because it did come out of nowhere. And then just that moment where he's just all like, help me. And Alicia's like sitting there. I mean, it kind of was a little shocking to me.
Yeah. And, you know, I've gone back and watched the episode a couple of more times and like got a better look at that scene on a larger screen. And you can definitely see that it is not a bite. It's way too big for a bite. And you can see guts spilling out, like, and that.
Hanging out.
But yeah, it was definitely a shock, you know, much like Denise, came out of nowhere, as I was saying earlier. So Whitney's a friend of yours, isn't she?
Yeah, I worked with her a long time ago, back in Oklahoma, and, yeah, known her for many, 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 many years.
She identifies herself as a Kyle fan. So, all right. So that's it for last episode. So now we're going to talk about this episode, and we're going to start with our ratings for this episode. So Kyle, what did you think of Teotwaki?
I gave it an 8.7 Otto's do-it-yourself instructional videos on how to prepare for the coming apocalypse. Oh, and I'll throw in a pocket constitution at no added cost.
Yeah, I wanted to see what that pocket constitution looked like. I was curious.
It was just a funny commercial. And then, yeah, that was like the last thing. It's like, oh, and a pocket constitution, because don't leave home without it.
Well, I gave it a very similar rating. I think last time we were 0.2 difference, and this time we're also 0.2. So I gave it 8.5 severed Jeff with a G heads. and that reference, of course, we're talking about the Jeff that was in that birdcage down during Bible study, quote unquote. But according to Talking Dead, and I actually knew it ahead of time because I was watching with the captions on, Jeff was spelled G-E-O-F-F as opposed to J-E-F-F. So it's Jeff with a G.
Yeah. It's a very, yeah, don't see that often. So he must have been a unique person.
Yeah, I don't know. I've known Jeffs and I've known Geoffs. But yeah, so anyway, I like this episode. I didn't like it as much as the two from the premiere. But I thought it was good. You know, it was a resting episode, you know, like kind of taking a breather, from, you know, what happened last week. So, you know, it was bound to, you know, be a slightly lower rating, but I still liked it. You know, I thought it was pretty good. So overall, so far with this season, I've been pleasantly pleased.
Yeah. No, same here. I've been very, like, it's kind of at least heading towards, I feel like, the right direction.
Yeah. All right. So we got some ratings from you guys. So why don't you give the first one?
All right. Steve Cutter Blades. He gives it 7.5 questions for Jeff.
Laura gave it 8 out of 10 survival buckets.
And Malika gives this rating for this episode, minus Ophelia shite, is a solid 9.56789 overly cocky Victor Strands. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's actually very accurate, I would say. Yeah, Strand bit off a lot more than he could chew this episode. And Dieta says I give this episode 7 out of 10 making water into wine homemade hookah smokers. All right. It is time to hear Ruthie and her awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. We miss you.
Yep.
All right. So again, we are going to give all of the listener awesome sauce first. So Laura's first, so why don't you give her awesome sauce?
All right. Her awesome sauce this week is again for Troy. I know we're supposed to hate him, but I find him to be the most interesting character so far. He looks like he should be an extra on Dawson Creek, and he can be so charming at times, especially with Madison. But then he's also a freaking psychopath who thinks he'll discover the secrets of the Walkers and has serious mommy issues. I love his Norman Bates creepiness, and I hope they don't kill him off too soon like they did with Gareth. I want to see how effed up local this guy can get.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have to wait too long.
Yeah, I've got more to say about that whole Madison Troy thing, because there's a lot to say there. So since it's awesome sauce time, we'll just move on to the next one. And the next two I'm going to give together because they're basically the same thing. Malika says, Daniel. And Dieta says, awesome sauce was Daniel showing up. And for that, I wholeheartedly agree. That is assuming he's not a ghost or that he dies right away after returning. Because both of those things could happen. Now, I have to say, I haven't talked to Ruthie about, I don't even know at this point if she's watching at this point. She may be binging or, you know, later or whatever. But I don't know if she's paying attention to season 3. But I remember back when we podcasted about it on, I think it was season 2, episode 7, when Daniel left in Shiva. Actually, we never figured out the definition of that, whether it was Shiva or Shiva.
Shiva.
But anyway, when the topic of whether or not Daniel would return, she felt very strongly that she did not want him to return. So she thought it was much like Glenn out of the dumpster. So I can only guess at this point how she's taking this. You know, she may be, you know, just like throwing up her arms and saying, that's it, I'm done. I don't know. But, you know, maybe we'll hear back from her. But I just remember her strong reaction about that. So, but I loved it because I missed his character, and I really want to find out what he's been up to while he's been away from us.
Yeah, no, same here. He's such a strong, like, character too. Like, he just, I don't know, it just seems like, you know, he has like so much, like so many hidden skills, you know, that is yet to, like, you know, show off or whatever. So when he showed up, I was kind of like, Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, that's all we have from our listeners. So, Kyle, do you have any awesome sauce for this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have like an awesome sauce moment with this episode. I mean, I generally thought the episode was good and I enjoyed it. But then after like watching it over again, this and that, like the one that stood out to me and the one I really enjoyed because it was creepy was that Mr. Dante's cliffhanger into the pile of the infected. Like that guy that they tossed over, and then like the camera was just like on that guy being eaten for, I thought, a little too long, but yeah. It was kind of like, okay, do it? Okay, now they're like ripping them apart. Yeah. But yeah, it was, yeah, I just could imagine if that's what you were seeing and you're like, they're getting ready to toss you over the edge. I would be frightened to death.
Yeah, that whole scene was actually pretty cool. I mean, we've seen characters fall. Like the one I'm thinking of was from the episode at Grady Memorial.
Oh yeah,
what was that guy's into name?
The elevator.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that one cop that. Dawn what's her face? Beth threw, you know, down the elevator shaft. He kind of met a similar fate, but we didn't really see that happen to him. We only heard it.
Heard it, yeah.
So I thought it was kind of cool, you know, seeing this pile of walkers that, you know, make this like mass of almost like, you know, worms. and
yeah,
they just completely envelop them. It was interesting actually from Talking Dead, it mentioned that actor was you watched Breaking Bad, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
That actor was one of the cousins from Breaking Bad, you know, the cousin assassins.
Yeah.
Of course, he looked totally different, but yeah, apparently that was him, or one of the cousins, I should say, not him. I don't know which him of the cousins it was, but yeah, one of them.
That's cool.
All right. Well, the awesome sauce that I put down was, I guess, basically Madison. I am finding myself liking her character more and maybe quite a bit more this season. And specifically, I had to put down that she seems to be she seems to have Troy's number. Like she is using her, you know, guidance counselor, psychological, you know, knowledge on him, and seems to know exactly what he wants and needs. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but I got more to say about it when we talk specifically about Troy. But anyway, that was the only awesome sauce that I wrote down, although I agreed with the Daniel thing definitely. So, all right, it is time for, and we're finding more people calling it lame sauce, which I like, but I need to find a new you know, jingle for it. So we're gonna keep calling it weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Because how could you improve with Twisted Sisters? What was the name of that? We're not going to take it, I think. I think that's the one. Anyway, one of the iconic videos from the 80s. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to give the first one?
Yeah. All right. Malika, lame sauce is that publicity crap they're pulling with Ophelia. No, just show her on the show or don't. None of this hashtag nonsense. I guess I'm a curmudgeon.
Yeah, so to explain that, and actually Dieta brings us up in her feedback, so I guess we'll talk about it here. On Talking Dead, the last two episodes has featured like a little
it's like a clip at the end.
Yeah, a little short segment with Mercedes Mason talking, she's not talking. She's holding up cue cards and, you know, she's asking, where's Ophelia? And, you know, at the end, she's doing hashtag, where's Ophelia? And, you know, she's been giving like these, you know, suggestions. And, you know, I thought it was kind of cute last week, but it felt kind of desperate and pathetic this week. I didn't care for it too much. And I got to say, if she doesn't show up next week on next week's episode and they do that again, that's going to be extremely.
You're worthless and weak.
And lame.
Yeah. Agreed. It's just a weird way of, I don't know, trying to hype it up or, yeah, I don't know. I hadn't been watching The Talking Dead. And so then I watched the last one and saw that finally at the end. So, I mean, if I saw that twice, it's almost kind of like, well, okay, now you're starting to get to the point where I'm like, well, just show her already. Cause now I kind of like don't care anymore. Like you're playing with us too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta agree. You know, and to that end, you know, like either they need to do something with her character and soon, or she should drift off into the sunset like Heath has, at least for now, or another character nobody even thinks of him anymore is Morales from season one. You know, he and his family said that they had other family in Birmingham or something like that. We never saw him again.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Well, our next week sauce, diametrically opposed to what I said, comes from Dieta. She says, weak sauce, Madison, everything she did and said irritated me.
This is where, like, I mean, I agree with Dieta because I know last season I was having a lot of issues with Madison. But I mean, I'm liking her more this season so far that, you know, we've seen, but she does kind of have this weird, like this kind of thing where she's like, I'm the leader of the group. And it's kind of like, I don't really, you know, I never saw or got the, you know, feel that everybody was behind her 100%. And so it's almost kind of like, I find her like, she's just being a little bit presumptuous with like her role.
Well, I mean, okay. But wouldn't she at like by default be the leader now between, Madison, Alicia and Nick?
I mean, I guess so, but then her kids are, you know, like Alicia hasn't been on the same page as her, you know, she's kind of coming up with like, no, I don't want to, like, you know, we should leave or like, or let's do, or, you know, other things. And I just don't feel like, I don't know. It's just something about it. I just feel like she's being the overly mother role that also automatically makes her boss. I don't know. It just kind of comes off weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any weak sauce?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
All right. Well, I had two. And the first thing, and I mentioned that I was going to talk more about Troy, but specifically, I was not a huge fan of the Nick jumping on Troy scene for a lot of reasons. But in general, like, okay, first thing, shooting that close to Troy's face would have knocked out his ear or both ears. Like, we see that so often, you know, on these shows where, you know, someone gets a shot like right by their head and it, you know, nothing happens. But, you know, to me, that was like point blank. And I would think that that would have impacted him. And yet it didn't. But that whole scene was so strange. And like specifically the way Nick reacted, you know, where he laughed like this crazy laugh. And, you know, tore up his notes, Troy's notes. And, you know, it ends with, I think we can be friends now. It was just like so bizarre. And, you know, I didn't completely buy it. In fact, I don't think I bought it at all. It was just so strange, off-putting. Yes, I, you know, Troy is off-putting, but like, okay,
yeah.
Nick's an addict, and yeah, he has problems, but I wouldn't say his, like, he doesn't have like weird psychological problems like Troy does. Like Troy has deep psycho problems. I mean, there's some serious issues with that guy. Nick, he's got issues. He's an addict. Okay, we can't, you know, we can't discount that. But other than that, you know, and you know, he's got a bit of a danger streak in him. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's not in the same league from a personality dysfunction as Troy is. I'm sorry. You know, they may be two misfits, but I don't, you know, it's hard to picture those two as friends. And for that matter, it's hard to picture anyone being friends with Troy.
Yeah, no, it was kind of, I mean, we'll get into it, I think, later, but it's, it did kind of come off like what it was almost kind of like I wasn't sure what was going on. Like I wasn't sure like because the way the scene cut, it was kind of like, were they high, like did Nick run away from him? Like I don't know why like Troy was coming around that corner and then Nick was like hiding in the bushes. I thought they were all together with the dogs and all that stuff. So I don't know, it just, you know, just kind of just came off weird. And I was like, oh okay, now he's attacking him. Mm-hmm. Like it was weird.
So my other weak sauce was the whole Teo Twaki tape. I thought it was very bizarre that they would show her a tape with those outtakes. You know, certainly I get why Jeremiah would want to show her those tapes, because you know that would help make her understand, you know, that the Broke Jaw Ranch and, you know, what the people believe in.
Yeah.
But the whole, like her seeing those outtakes like that, like certainly not putting Jeremiah in a positive light. Although I think, Madison got certain, intel from that she, you know, didn't have before that, like specifically how much she looks like Troy's mom, which we'll get to later.
It's like I had a, like the second time I watched that though, cause it's like they didn't give her the tape. Like she just was like going through, I guess, that shelf that had them all, but it was kind of weird. It's like, oh, of course there's all their, you know, their propagandas, you know, so to speak. But then one of them was like, oh, here's the raw footage, you know, like it's just marked here. Like, oh yeah, why wouldn't you like just look at that? Or like, why was it there? It just, I don't know. It was just kind of like made it very convenient for her to find it.
Definitely. And I thought I would share this. Since we're talking about the tape, I read on AMC's site, they have like a recap on there. And in the recap, they mentioned that the tape was from 1996, which if you watch it, you see certain things that, you know, I would think would be from that period. Like you're obviously from Oklahoma. So I know one of the things that was big in that tape was the Oklahoma City bombing. We see Tim McVeigh and, you know, the other guy that was with him, but McVeigh is obviously the most famous of that. You know, and Clinton and, you know, various images from like the mid 90s like that. So I thought it was interesting that it was supposedly from 96.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just kind of. I guess puts a little bit of a time frame on how long he's been doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. We already played it once, but since we're talking about this episode now, it's time for feedback and time to listen.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
I never get tired of hearing that. All right. Why don't you do this one?
All right. Cutter says, interesting episode, Bible study 420. Strand almost took a nosedive. Troy and Nick become besties and Daniel returns. What's up with Madison playing mom to Psycho? Dayton Callie, Jeremiah is a great new addition. Love him in Deadwood and Sons of Anarchy, and so glad to see him pick up another role with Meat. Looking forward to more on his character's backstory. I'm expecting good things out of Sam Underwood, Jake, as well, after his work in the last seasons of The Following.
Yeah, I hear he was good on The Following. I kind of tuned out of The Following by then. But,
I
hear he was good on it. Well, the whole Troy thing. I mean, like I said, I think she is playing that whole Troy thing to a T. Troy has issues, and I was quite shocked to see near the end there when she puts that napkin on his leg, and I'm thinking, why did she do that? That's kind of strange. And then I started thinking of, you know, earlier in the episode where we find Troy in her bed. And, you know, obviously he's got mommy issues. And I just think, oh, mommy, oh, mommy, oh, mommy. And it's, as I said last week, it's like, okay, does he have a thing for her being mommy? But is it also strangely sexual? It seems kind of both, and it seems like Madison is going to
play
sides. Because I think when she sees that huge stock of food and weapons that were under Jeremiah's house, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, hell, we're staying here.
Yeah, that's a gold mine.
It definitely is a gold mine. I mean, you could literally live years with that. And so she realizes that, you know, she's got to try to fit in. And, you know, I also think that with I think she realizes that she can control Troy. If she kind of plays that role and gives him the mother that he's never had, you know, so like it was kind of strange, but the more I started thinking about it, it made sense. Especially when you remember that she was a guidance counselor. So she's obviously got, like, you know, master's degrees in, social work, and, you know, probably has a lot of psychology, you know, may have a psychology degree as well. But certainly if she doesn't, she has a lot of psychology training. She knows what she's doing
here. Yeah, and you definitely have to think that she's had a lot of experience with young men with problems.
Which is, you know, always difficult, you know, like you struggle with the ones closest to you. So, you know, she was probably trying all these things with Nick, and, you know, Nick wasn't playing it. And like a lot of times, unfortunately, that happens. The ones that are closest to you, you know, just don't, I see that a lot in IT, like the spouse or the, you know, mother or father of, you know, someone that's, you know, in IT, and, you know, they don't follow the recommendations, you know, and stuff like that. I'm not saying my wife is like that, but I have seen that before. You know, so it's a similar thing, I imagine, like, you know, trying to teach your troubled teen how to behave can be difficult when, you know, you have to take that stuff home with you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Laura is next, and she says, so after my poo-poo rant of the first two episodes, I was happy to have enjoyed this Sunday's episode much better. That's good to know. I'm happy to hear that, Laura. And here's why I liked it so much better. If Fear cannot give us the heart and sincerity of the main show, I hope they make it as weird and effed up as totally possible. Go full on David Lynch weird. I'm talking Dennis Hopper with an oxygen mask, mumbling "Mommy, Mommy" in Madison's lap while Nick eats a blueberry pie. The quarter, kind of crazy. This episode was so bizarre and intriguing. From the pot-smoking Christ-risen Bible study to Jeff, the oracle deadhead who speaks through Gretchen, to Nick and Troy's awkwardly bonding moment, to Madison and Troy's extremely awkward mommy issues / Mrs. Robinson interactions. So much of this episode was nothing that I expected. I hope they stay on this path of doing the strange and unexpected, and hopefully when showrunner Scott Gimple comes on board next season, they don't fall into predictable formulas for the show, such as a character having a strong story arc and being prominently featured just before they get killed off. I still may not care much about most of the characters, but I'm super excited to see how off the wall this season can get. Yeah, I see your point, and I love the Mrs. Robinson reference there. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, I get it. And just to clarify, Scott M. Gimple next season, and we didn't mention this last episode in the news, and I meant to actually put it in the news this week, but I'll mention it now. So next season, current showrunner Dave Erickson is stepping down as showrunner. He will still be an executive producer on the show, but taking over for him are co-showrunners from Once Upon a Time, producers Andrew Chambliss and Ian B. Goldberg. And I've noticed that there are several shows out there. I can think of two right off the top of my head, such as Better Call Saul, which is the showrunners for that is like from Breaking Bad. That showrunner, he came on board, Vince Gilligan, but also Peter Gould. They co-showrun Better Call Saul, and the other one most predominantly, I guess, would be Game of Thrones, which is Benioff and Weiss. I can't remember their first names, but they're the co-showrunners of Game of Thrones. And you know, considering the success of Game of Thrones, co-showrunning seems to be the thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if Scott M. Gimple ever leaves, that it may be replaced by two people. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Not saying that he's leaving, but if he ever does leave. But anyway, he's coming on as an executive producer. So he's essentially going to be, I imagine him in more of a consulting role, like, yeah, you know, dealing with, like, he won't be over there dealing with the day to day. He'll be kind of just guiding, making sure that, you know, the stories, are, you know, in line with the show. And, you know, he's also a big on the comic book. So yeah. So I think his presence is going to be great on this show, but like, I'm glad that he's not going to be show running both, because I think he would be overstretched, not be a good thing. So, yep. Okay.
All right. We'll go to the next one.
Yeah.
All right. Malika, says, I don't have a lot to say about this episode because I found it all entertaining. I truly enjoyed this episode and feel this season is doing well by everyone. Hopefully it will keep steady and get even better. And I have to agree.
I agree. All right. And our final bit of feedback comes from Dieta. And we're gonna kind of split her feedback into two pieces, because her first bit of the feedback is kind of separate from the rest of it. So I'm going to start with that, I guess. The first bit of feedback, she's asking about Ophelia. And I'm not going to say exactly what she said, because we already talked about those things earlier. But she was a little confused. And, you know, when we were saying that she had been found by Jeremiah in the podcast and was possibly shooting down the helicopter, that it didn't make sense to her. And, you know, if she's at the farm, why haven't we seen her? And, you know, as we talked about, that came from the whole thing from Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that she suggested in on there was that she was the one who maybe shot Travis. We don't know who shot Travis. So that possibility, if she's not on the compound or at the ranch, that's a possibility as far as I'm concerned. I mean, she could be anywhere, but I mean, you know, she's either there or she's, and if she's there and we haven't seen her at this point, that suggests that maybe she's captive somewhere. Like they have her, you know, in some cell that we haven't seen yet. Or she's, you know, they mentioned Alpha Station. Maybe she's at Alpha Station, whatever Alpha Station is, assuming that's not the,
the place, outpost.
Yeah. The outpost that we saw already them at to. In the first episode. You know, or, you know, she's at a location that we haven't seen yet. That's different from those things. You know, I'm guessing that she is, at some location that we haven't seen. And possibly involved with the shooting, but we don't know yet. But I don't know. That's my take. But I am interested in that because when you go back to that episode, which I saw, you know, prior to watching the premiere, we clearly identify the guy that was shooting at her as Jeremiah. So this is a side of Jeremiah we haven't seen yet. So that suggests something more dark and sinister. All right. So with that, do you want to take the rest of it?
All right. And she continues, Madison low-key threatening Luciana to stay at the farm because she knows Nick would leave with her. She is still trying to hold on to him. Again, he left her chasing him down is what got Travis killed, not Nick. And now she wants to play mommy to crazy Troy because he has mommy daddy issues and go on a manhunt to help find missing farm members. She is doing too much. Strand is always a favorite to watch. Love watching him finesse his way out of situations. Alicia hanging with the locals, trying to blend in, I guess. Nick and Troy becoming brother enemies. I guess that was kindred souls finding common ground for bonding. But you just killed a whole village of people because you're performing unauthorized experiments. Nope, didn't like this episode.
Yeah, and she says earlier, she said it was kind of weak to her and it didn't keep her interest at all. So... Mm. Okay. So the hang with the locals part, I don't think that was something Alicia wanted to go to. I mean, that's why she made the excuse of her being Jewish. Don't think they're Jewish, by the way. But they could be. I don't think it's really been discussed, but I think that was, of course, an excuse. Of course, that didn't work, but I think she was also pleasantly surprised when it became a much different study.
Yeah, like a very much different study.
Yeah. So I don't know. As I mentioned before, I had issues with the whole Nick and Troy thing. So I am looking to what we're going to see in upcoming episodes. We may not see anything about this in the next episode, by the way. We'll talk about that later, but, where that's going, I don't know. So we'll see. Strand wasn't my favorite thing in the episode. I found that storyline a little boring. It didn't enthrall me as much as the rest of it. So I guess we don't agree on this episode, Dieta, but that's okay. I appreciate your opinion as always.
Yep.
All right. So that is it for our feedback this week. So we're going to move on to our discussion points that weren't really discussed. So what you got? We kind of tried to group these, by the way, in theme. So what do you want to start with first?
I guess let's start with the tape. Go ahead.
My first thing is it was something that he said in the tape, Jeremiah said in the tape, and he called the end T-E, and it was also something Gretchen said, and yeah. I thought, God, that's annoying.
It was annoying, and also because I didn't, like, it was annoying, but also I was kind of like, wait, what did she just say? You know, it was kind of like T-E, I'm like, it just kind of was like a little bit hard because the whole acronym thing is kind of annoying. I mean, it's like especially their age, should have been just like YOLO TE BRB LMNOP. I mean, it's so, yeah, it's just, oh, TE. It's like, that's the hip way to say the end.
Yeah, but I don't think it's hip.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny. I make a joke about this, like, okay, you know, which is O K A Y became O K, and then it became K because okay was too much to spell. So now people just say K.
Hey. That's just isn't it.
So stupid.
Yeah.
But so one other point I had that isn't in the notes, but I wanted to mention it because I thought it was a brilliant observation. And it was by Rima, who's a Facebook friend of mine. And she was guesting on the Walking Dead cast this week. And she noticed during the playing of that tape in the cold open that Jeremiah is listed as Jeremiah Otto Sr. And I hadn't even thought of that. I guess I noticed it, but that made me wonder, well, who's Junior? Like, is Troy the Junior? You know, and his name's actually, you know, Jeremiah Troy or something like that. Or is Jake a short form of Jeremiah, which I don't normally, that would be a short form of Jacob. So, but anyway, I got to give kudos to Rima for pointing that out because I didn't notice that. Until she said, I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that. Jeremiah Otto Sr.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And that was on the tape?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't see his name on there.
Yeah. The other thing I have to say about the tape was, I thought it was kind of, you know, I understood that they were trying to make it look, you know, weathered. But I happened to notice, I couldn't help but notice that when they would show Jeremiah's face in the video, the quality of the recording got very blurry. But in other scenes where it didn't show him, the resolution was much better. So obviously they were trying to disguise his age because, you know, Dayton Callie, I don't know his exact age, but I imagine he's in his 70s anyway. So I guess the makeup didn't take away all the years that it needed to.
Well, that's one way to, I guess, kind of hide it a little bit or blur it up, and then you can't really tell.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And anyway, that's about it I had for the tape.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've written other than just it was kind of hokey, but you know, hokey in the sense I'm like, oh, I kind of remember seeing stuff like that growing up in the 90s.
Well, the thing that it reminded me of more than anything was a show that I used to watch a lot, and I don't know if it's still on anymore, but Doomsday Preppers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I think, on National Geographic Channel. You see a lot of people like Jeremiah in that show, and you know, unfortunately, I think, you know, it shows the most extreme, the most, like, in some cases, you know, completely out there preppers, but at the same time, you do see a lot of, like, a lot of interesting things in that show, and you know, I if I came across episodes of that again, I'd probably watch some of them. Interesting.
It's always good to be prepared.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm sure, well, being from Oklahoma, you've probably, you know, had your share of tornadoes and things mm-hmm. like that that you've had to have to live with. And, you know, we've had, I've had to live with, you know, blackouts and like when Hurricane Sandy came through, like,
oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, that was, you know, hit the coast more, but yeah. We did feel it here in Ohio, and, you know, we lost power for 3 days back then. So, you know,
that's
crazy. I am sympathetic to that. Anyway, you want to move on? Well, what do you got next?
The next was like the community, the community as a whole. Okay. Yeah. What are your thoughts on some of that?
Well, you couldn't help but notice like some of that anti-prepper sentiment, like, you know, how like even when Charlene was kind of giving her eulogy, if you could call it that, of, you know, of Charlene, you know, she said that, you know, but she was risking her life for the unprepared. And then, mm-hmm. you know, shortly after that, you know, that one jerk face, you know, bumps into Madison, freeloader, you know, and I mean, Madison cannot be the first person, you know, Madison and group can't be the first people that have come,
to that ranch. Camp.
Not at this point, there have to have been more.
Well, yeah, because I mean, there's even during parts of like when the kids were talking, it's like, you know, they were saying like some people came after the fall. So it's like,
yeah,
I'm sure other people showed up and yeah, what did they do? Maybe they did do something to those people who we don't know. Yeah, it's that whole group, because there's like I kind of wrote this down. Kind of a little bit confusing way, so I'm not going to read it like that, but it's like just the whole group does have this kind of almost religious undertone, like, you know, like mm-hmm. a kind of like a cult. And mm-hmm. even though they're you know, doomsday preppers, or at least, you know, survivalists, or whatever you want to like categorize them as, but yeah, it's like it's almost kind of like you're not one of them, you're the unprepared. And so it's like, yeah, there's already this kind of bias against like Madison and the group just because they're not part of their little inside circle. And it does kind of give it a more creepier feeling because we don't know, is this a religious thing? Is, you know, are the, like some of the, like the kids and stuff like that, you know, that's like, they're not really fazed by, you know, the dead being, you know, back, you know, coming back to life. It just seems like they're like, oh yeah, okay, here's this head.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny, like Gretchen didn't want to shake hands because you know,
yeah,
die like from that, you know,
a hangnail these days.
Hangnail, yeah. Die from a hangnail.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the thing that, you know, stood out and it got mentioned both in the video, and I think Jake brought it up during that thing during Charlene, you know, if you plan for the future, plan for a better one. And to me, at least in terms of, acceptance of people, it's just a pipe dream, you know, because mm-hmm. they're very, very judgmental from what we're seeing, you know, and I don't think all of them are that way, but unfortunately, it seems like some of them are, and
yeah, maybe even some of the who would be considered the probably, you know, like the leaders or the whatever, you know, like, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You want to go to the next one?
Yeah, let's go on to the next one. All right. You had some notes here about the hangout, or the Chateau O'Jeff. Yeah. So what did you have to say?
The kids hang out. I mean, I don't know. It just took me back. It's like, I love all the church kids all smoking pop are pot and drinking, you know, at their Bible study.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it just kind of like, it's like kind of like Young Life back in the day. Like you would go to your Bible study, but then of course all the like popular kids, that's where they go to basically do all the bad things they're not supposed to do.
Yeah, I have to say, that was, it was kind of cool. And I like to see Alicia, you know, kind of make new friends, and she certainly seems like, you know, she, is fitting in so far. You know, it's, and that's good, especially, you know, if they are going to stay.
Yeah.
But I would say that, that whole thing was completely unexpected for me. I did not expect that whatsoever. Like all of a sudden this bong comes out.
And yeah, it's like immediate too. They're just like, okay.
Like, but I guess they did that because, you know, it didn't arouse any suspicion, and you know, oh, they're gonna study the Bible. That's great, fantastic. So I don't know. It was kind of cool. I thought.
Yeah, it was good to see Alicia like really totally like kind of enjoying herself and smiling and laughing, you know. It was kind of, I'm sure, you know, for her, she probably had no idea, especially when they opened it up and they're like, okay, you first, and she's like, no. like you know, like I've got my knife on, you know, on me if you try anything, to finally like being to kind of like just letting go and just, you know, I guess relating to people kind of closer to her own age ish
so does that mean they're growing weed there?
I bet that's part of it.
Yeah, must be. And you had some other stuff down here, it looks like.
Oh, and then so, you know, as she's like Alicia's and the whole kids group or whatever, I mean, that's kind of where we start getting an idea. It's like they've been there this whole time. So it's like, it seems like some of those kids are like, you know, they were born there. Or some came after the fall because I guess they had family already there. And like Gretchen was saying that Jeremiah, or, you know, Otto, like he saw this coming and they called him the, you know, what did they call him? The father of the family. Or I thought they called him like the father of the family. Okay. I wrote that somewhere. But like, you know, that Otto, he saw all this coming and like,
my take on it was that some of them seem to be there for a long time. I tend to think that, you know, probably Jeremiah sold like places at this, at the ranch to prepper families. You know, some of them probably as things, you know, started getting ugly, they showed up, and probably other ones had been there for a long time, you know, and had totally bought the, you know, drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak. You know, were probably there, you know, living, you know, waiting for the apocalypse to come. And like I think Jeremiah said last week, you know, he fully did expect it, but, you know, he thought it was going to be like economic meltdown, which, yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, think will happen. He didn't expect this kind of apocalypse to occur, but, you know, nevertheless, they're certainly stocked up. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Now that, I guess that would kind of also make a little sense too, of how all those people are there together. Was probably kind of like they all bought into it. And then if they weren't there yet, you know, they knew where to go.
Like I imagine like the video series was probably, you know, kind of phase one, you know, brings in revenue to the ranch. And then, you know, kind of phase two probably had like a lecture series, and, you know, cause he mentions, you know, show her the lectures, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I imagine he probably went around the US and, you know, did like, you know, those stupid, I remember in the 90s, especially, you always see these real estate seminars. They'd come to your town, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can buy all real estate with no money down.
Yeah.
But I mean, that and all sorts of other stuff, you know, where it'd be like, come to my seminar.
Yeah.
You know, so that was probably part of his infomercial, so to speak. And, you know, so that would be phase two. And then phase three would be, you know, buy a, you know, like either, you know, buy my things to get your own place together, or, if you like, you know, buy your place here. And then probably phase four is come live here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally see that.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And I also thought it was interesting, but like, it seemed like Gretchen and, you know, all the kids, like, it seems like they know about Troy, like how he acts. Cause I mean, she was even saying it's like, oh, basically like, they can't do what he does. And it's almost kind of like they know he does these crazy things, or that maybe they knew what was going on at the depot, but like, I don't know. Like they
I have to disagree with you. I don't think they know what Troy does. I think they think that he's just like this, you know, hardcore warrior. And I don't think they
realize know what he's, exactly,
you know, performing experiments and, you know, killing people that, you know, pretty much indiscriminately, and, you know, like killing anyone crossing the border and, you know, all the things. I mean, some of what he learned, you know, was educational. You know, the whole, leaving the bodies around to kind of like mask the living. I think that was interesting. And, you know, the studies of like when people will, turn, you know, I don't know if he would have actually, you know, returned in 87 minutes or not, but that's interesting, but I can't condone its methods at all. You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're probably right. They probably don't know the full detail. Maybe just that they look at him as kind of being like a strong person to deal with this new world or something. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. So, you know, they appreciate his, you know, warrior mentality and, you know, the trying to do the difficult things, and but they don't realize what he's actually doing. And if they did know, I think they would have a different attitude, like what Madison, you know, in her conversation there with Jake and Jeremiah, you know, where she says like, you know, if they knew, you know, that he was killing people for science, you know, a lot of these people, I think, would have different opinions of Troy. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that covers the whole hangout thing, but we're already starting to trample upon Troy. So why don't we move on to Troy?
What? Go ahead. I'm sure you have lots to say.
Many things. Like, so, okay. So what the hell is Troy doing in Madison's bed? I mean, that was so disturbing. And, you know, it's like, it's just so, but, I am very interested to know where that whole Troy Madison, and for that matter, Troy Nick relationship, if there is one, where it's going. But you know, it's clear, like we were saying earlier, you know, I think Madison has his bell rung, and, you know, and very smartly, like, she realizes that he's got such mommy issues that just, you know, playing mother and being the mother that, you know, this drunk mother that he had, like Jeremiah says at one point, that, you know, he was caring for his mother and she hated him for it. I'm sure that caused certain issues with mommy. So Madison can certainly control him by being the mommy that he never had, you know, but it's so strange. I mean, what do you think about Troy?
I mean, he freaks me out. Like, he's so soft spoken and he's like this all American, you know, like looking, you know, guy, but like deep down, you totally know he's like this. Do you like Huey Lewis in the News? Like American Psycho crazy. Like
Patrick Bateman.
Yeah. He just comes off as you almost kind of, what's the word? Like underestimate him or kind of a little maybe naive to him in a sense of like, you know, oh, he couldn't be like that crazy or whatever. He's just, you know, misguided or whatever. Although we know that, you know, with what he's done. But like if other people in the group, they might totally just think that, you know, he's just a little misguided, a little, you know, needs just a little, you know, grown up help or parenting help or whatever. But then deep down, he's like, he could probably wipe out that whole entire like camp just because he felt, you know, because someone, you know, looked at him wrong.
Yet at the same time, you know, that there is this belief, like particularly with Jake, that he can control Troy, and it's kind of like, you know, I think you said last episode, you know, he's like the little kid that's got the magnifying glass, you know, burning ants. and that's kind of like it seems like with him, it's like you leave him to his own, and he will cause havoc and mayhem and do terrible things. But, you know, somehow because of his issues, he can be controlled. But it's weird. Okay. So Jake says that he believes in Troy. Like, why do you think he believes in him so much? Or is that just Jake's way of controlling him?
I mean, that must be a way of, I don't know. Like, I mean, belief is in him and what? And like that he's going to like turn around or that he's.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not, like he's just going through a bad patch right now and he'll snap out of it.
I think this is a patch that you don't grow out of.
When you start killing people and calling it science.
I'm a reformed psychopath now. I don't, you know, I think maybe, you know, a psychopath can be medicated, you know, if
yeah,
like, you know, for, I don't know, schizophrenia or something like that, like certain disorders can be medicated and controlled, but I don't know if there's a medicine to medicate a psychopath beyond like, you know, putting them in a stupor so that they can't, you know, do anything.
Yeah. Unless they have that in that big giant stockpile.
Maybe that's where the weed comes in.
Well, yeah, could be.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit already about, Nick and Troy, that whole weird thing. So I don't know. Did you have anything more to say about that whole thing?
Yeah, because I mean, I kind of took a bit of like, it was like crazy meets crazy, like BFF vibe when they were fighting and then they started laughing. And then, yeah, Nick was like totally, that laugh of his was just so kind of weird. But then,
it sure
like,
was.
But then after, like, you know, he threw Troy down and then, you know, they rolled around and then Nick was like laying on his back, and then what Troy said, like, oh, I guess we can be friends now or whatever. Like the camera, like the focus went away from Troy to Nick, and Nick didn't really have like an expression on his face, and it just kind of took, I kind of took it as like a setup, like he was doing something, like he has some plan, so he's like, maybe he was just playing it off that get Troy to be friends with him, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever, for whatever end. But, you know, again, it's with Troy. So it's like, it probably won't work.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, I think that Nick has some of that Madison in her, like her ability to read people.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Yeah. I think, like, we've certainly seen Nick be good with children, especially, mm-hmm. You know, and he seems to have this, like, instinctive ability to, be what people need him to be, I guess, except for being an addict, which I don't think anyone wants him to be.
Yeah.
but I think that, you know, he's got some of that, psychological, understanding, you know, that, Madison has. And, you know, maybe some of that is dealing with his own demons. He, you know, has an ability to understand others, you know, like you understand yourself, you can understand others better, you know, but, to that end, the thing that I maybe made him react in this way was that Troy wanted him to record the event of him turning, you know, and like Nick asks, you know, why are why are you like this or something? And he says, like, I really need to know why we spoil. And, yeah, I mean, I certainly want to know that too. And I think a lot of fans want to know that, but I mean, getting to the point where it's like he's sitting there almost like accepting that he could die at this moment and was totally okay with it, you mm-hmm. know, and like wanted, you know, was encouraging Nick to record it. And the fact that, you know, he had, you know, according to Troy's formula, 87 minutes to reanimate. Maybe we'll see that someday. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, I think we've beaten that to death, but Troy's weird.
Yeah.
Is the short, that's the short end of it. Troy is an oddball and dangerous. And, you know, I definitely want to see where this story goes with him.
And for how long? Because we'll see.
All right. So since we were just talking a little bit about Nick, I guess Luciana is a good thing to move on to. And to that end, I mean, I guess Madison kind of suggested this, but like, what's she going to do when she really finds out that they want to stay? Because it's pretty clear Luciana mm-hmm. has no intention of staying. And, you know, she's like, as soon as she gets well, she wants
to go,
you know, she wants Nick and her to take off. And, you know, I don't think she really even cares about Madison and Alicia. She's like, well, you left them before, so you can leave them now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I like, cause like I kind of was writing, it's like that, you know, she doesn't want to stay, but she's not going to really take the, you know, Mama Madison, like telling her like, oh, this is what we're doing. Cause like Madison's not really her person, you know, like her group.
Yeah.
Like, cause really, isn't this like the first time Luciana is like meeting Madison?
Yeah. So yeah, they never met last season.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So I was kind of like, well, she's not going to listen to you. Like, you just met her and you're telling her like, oh no, we're going to survive and do whatever just because you're Nick's mom. But yeah, so I don't know. I think she's going to try to get Nick to go with her and just say, no, let's just take off.
Yeah. All right. I think that's about it we had with her, but, we've mentioned Jeremiah a little bit. But there's a couple other things to, say, just an observation. I noticed his, he tends to use alliteration and like on the tape, he says, while the feckless fickle, and then he says, and I got this as the quote, he says, I'm starting to grasp why folks' fondness fails when it comes to you, Madison. So he seems to like, I think I noticed him do this last episode too. He likes these alliteration things, especially with F.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder.
Yeah. And, you know, we saw the tape there and he's obviously back then he was also a drunk and he was an abusive one, you know. I don't know how much of that, you know, you put on the mother there, but, you know, clearly it did not put him in a positive light. And it also gives you kind of a foreshadowing of a temper that we haven't seen yet on the show in the present.
Yeah, that's what I got too. It was kind of like, oh no, even when Madison was like seeing that, it was kind of like, oh, okay. Kind of know what I'm possibly dealing with.
Yeah. And that, you know, Madison says that, you know, her dad was a drunk and, you know, so there is this seemingly common past that, you know, so there is quite a bit in common between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder are they going to be a couple? Is Troy going to have to fight for Madison? That whole thing.
It's creepy, gross. Like, it is. I don't know.
All right. So we haven't talked at all about Strand and of course Daniel yet. But I mentioned earlier, I found that story less interesting. I guess it was Strand as good old Strand, but he clearly has met his match. And Dante is not having any of Strand, you know,
none at all.
do you think Strand was like kidding himself that he actually thought that Dante was a friend? Seemed that way, didn't it? It seemed like, you know, Dante, what did he say? He's like, you know, did you actually think we were friends? And he's like, well, we made money together and, you know, how American of you, there was some contempt there with Strand that he did not realize. I don't think he ever would have gone to see Dante had he known that.
Yeah, I mean, even if he might have known that there might possibly be an issue, it's kind of like he really had nowhere else to go, you know, you might as well roll the dice and just like maybe things will be okay. Or maybe it was part of in his back of the mind that he's like, I'm going to have to cut some deal, but let me see what's going on. You know, like what's going on. I don't know. We'll see. Cause he seems to be alive still.
Yeah. So the most interesting thing I found of that was Daniel, obviously. And that was in the last, you know, 10 seconds of the episode. And I when I first saw it, I'm like, there he is. So, you know, I've been the kind of hope that Daniel was coming back, and it, you know, Ruthie, obviously she wasn't having it when we were podcasting about it in season two, but Dave Erickson had clearly said on Talking Dead that Daniel had not died. So, and you know, had indicated that at some point that he would probably be back. And so seeing him is like, I expected it. Now, I'll tell you, if we see Tobias, you remember Tobias from the first two episodes? You know, season one. I mean, if we see him again, that will be more shocking than seeing Daniel, I think.
Yeah.
But I love his character and I can't wait to see more about him. And we will talk about that when we get to the next episode, I think. We're pretty much done. There were only a couple little things. One little thing actually that I thought was a nice touch. And that was, I noticed that the German shepherds seem to be trained in German. And I know that they do that for like police dogs and things like that. Like that, like the hardcore, very professional training of German shepherds, they're, you know, done in German. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, other than the fact that the German shepherds originally, you know, come from Germany. But, I happened to notice that during the hunt, and I thought that was very interesting and cool.
Is that, yeah, cause, and what was the word they were saying?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Cause I was watching it with the closed captioning too. And I was kind of like, I was kind of like, that's weird. That's not what they're saying.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of things that were said. I don't remember specifics, but the fact that it was in German, I think was, like I say, the ones that go for the serious, training, I've noticed that in the past, they're German. Trained in German. So,
yeah. Well, these guys mean business, obviously.
Did you have anything else?
Just Alicia and Jake sitting in a tree, KISSING, and one of them is going to die, but probably not Alicia. Yeah. I mean, with her coming back from church camp and then just like she was totally checking Jake out.
Yeah.
And just kind of that usually doesn't end well. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess we both talked about the whole laying the napkin on Troy's leg like Madison was, and how just creepy and creepy. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about her volunteering?
I think she's up to something, but I don't know. I guess she's still trying to show that she's going to whatever prove her worth to the group, and so she's going to like pay it for, or whatever, just like show that she can be an asset, or like help out and stuff like that she's useful, and that they're not freeloaders.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe it's part of that. I probably would want to know what's going on outside of the camps, especially since Travis was shot in a helicopter. Mm-hmm. But then maybe also if Nick or if Troy is going, then they can have their little love rendezvous. Oh, I don't know.
It's just, my gosh. Where is that story going to go? I just don't know. It's just so, it's so creepy on so many levels, Norman Bates, I don't know where that's going. If it's going to be, mommy have sex with me, or if it's mommy, give me a bath, or mommy tell me a story. Hopefully it's mommy tell me a story, because I don't know if I want to see. It's so disturbing.
Yeah.
But, I as far as her volunteering, I think that essentially volunteering is a good way to show that to put her money where her mouth is, to do the things that, supposedly a lot of the people can't do for themselves, that was one thing we didn't really talk too much about in the church group. That Alicia was kind of, taking like leadership there, the fact that they were fascinated with the way that she was basically saying that, you gotta do things, you can't count on others, when she says that, she killed somebody, they were fascinated by that. Of course, they couldn't ask her a question, they had to ask it through Jeff.
Yeah, I know. That was weird and interesting. Yeah.
But I think that this is a way to show that she is willing to, to step up and to earn her place in the group. And I think that's where it comes to. And, I think Madison is basically, especially with that last episode and the spoon, or should I say last in the premiere and the spoon thing with Troy. I mean, she's a badass. She is realizing her potential at this point. And, you know, so I think that she may prove herself to be the most capable warrior there, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all we've got, right? We've been talking for quite a while now.
So. I know.
All right. To submit your feedback, go to, there's a few different ways, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. And on there, there's a SpeakPipe widget, or you can call the GSM voicemail, which is 304-837-2278. Or most people interact with us and give their feedback on the Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadGSM. And if you are going to give feedback for the next episode, the deadline is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired. And like we did this week, if we get your feedback in late, we will give it the following week. And another way to get a hold of us is through our Twitter, which is at Walking Dead GSM. If you want to support us, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple and subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And if you're there, you know, in addition, we'd really like it if you would give us a 5-star rating and or review. And also mentioned last week the GoFundMe that I still got going for to help pay for the solid state drive that I got after The Walking Dead season was over. Like I said, I found a deal, so I went for it, but I'm still having to make quite a few payments. I've got maybe a third of it paid off at this point, but I could use your help. And if you'd like to support me and my hard drive, go to GoFundMe.com/TWDTTBrian with an I hard drive. Other ways to support us, like using the Amazon affiliate, you can find those ways through goldenspiralmedia.com/support. All right. Our next episode, you want to take us out? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next episode is season 3, episode 4, and it's called 100. Don't have who it's written by or directed by, but the description is: a mysterious character searches for purpose and soon becomes tied to the struggle over a key resource in the apocalypse.
And spoiler, based on the clips that we see in the, you know, next time on Fear the Walking Dead, it looks like a Daniel Strand episode. So I don't even know if we're going to see Madison and the Broken Jaw or Broke Jaw Ranch. Don't know. Well, anyway, that's it for this episode. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is
Fear the Walking Dead Talk-Through.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.